Revelation chapter 1.
The third theme I want to look at is the one today, and it's entitled Happy New Year. This last Monday, probably close to 1 million people crammed into New York City. Now, if you're claustrophobic, you're not going to want to get down there on New Year's Eve. 1 million people crammed into Times Square and the surrounding blocks makes for a very tight fit. Up to 1 billion people supposedly watched the festivities and the ball falling, that, 30,000-pound ball falling down. There's something about a new year that's attractive to folks. So we say goodbye to 1 year, close off the chapter, and open another. And I was thinking about that. What is it about December 31st, January 1st? Why not, I don't know, July 7th and July 8th? Why don't we have a party at Times Square July 7th? What is it about December 31st, January 1st? And the only thing that really comes to my mind is there's something in the human heart that wants a do-over. That when we look back on the previous year, we might go, ooh, that was not what I was hoping for. But maybe the new year will be better. Maybe you had a lot of tragedies in 2012 and you're thinking, 2013, the only way I can go is up. Or maybe you had some habits that you were trying to kick and they're still kicking you. And you're thinking, nah, 2013, this is going to be the year. Maybe there's some things that you wanted to get going that you didn't and whatever. But when the page turns, you're thinking, new start, clean slate, brand new day. All of that is wrapped up in the phrase, Happy New Year. Because Happy New Year really is more than a phrase, more than a statement. It's a wish. It's a plea. Maybe even it's a prayer. Happy New Year. Want a year for you that is filled with God's blessings. Want a year that's filled with God's successes and His prosperity in your life. A year filled with His dreams being fulfilled in your life. Happy New Year. Well, that's what I want to take a look at today from Revelation, which sounds like, wait a minute, we're looking at seals and trumpets and bowls. How do you get Happy New Year out of that? Well, hopefully God will give it to us. So let's pray before we go any further. Lord, I thank you that you have given us, at least from the way we see it, a brand new year. It's unfilled. Pages have yet to be written. And so we pray on this first Sunday of a new year as we've entered into the house of the Lord. We could be anywhere, but we've gathered here. We've gathered here to worship you, to praise and honor you. We pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to have the text illuminated to us that we understand it. We hear it, we believe it, and follow it. I pray, God, for your grace on me to do what I'm called to do without getting in your way, so that when it's done, people see Jesus, not Pastor Ray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how does Happy New Year show up in Revelation? Well, one of the things as you read through the book, you're going to find that there's a word that John prefers to the word happy, and that word is blessed. 8 times the word blessed shows up in Revelation. In a sense, they're John's Beatitudes. Now, when you and I hear the word Beatitude, we often think Jesus and we think Sermon on the Mount. Those qualities of life of the kind of people that make up God's kingdom. When you read that list in Matthew 5, you won't find the powerful, the proud, the pushy, the prestigious, the one with the most possessions. No, you find the poor in spirit, the ones who mourn, the meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the ones who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, persecuted because they follow Jesus. Jesus said they're the kind that are the blessed ones. Why? Because they know they have no claim on God's mercy and they simply lay hold by faith and God lets them into the kingdom. They're blessed. Well, John also has his Beatitudes, his blessed way. So if we want to know what a happy new year looks like, where do we go? Do we go to the world to find out what a happy new year looks like? Or do we go to the word to find out what a happy new year looks like? Man, the world doesn't do too well at figuring out happiness, does it? So I'm going to the Word. So let's take a look, and I've got, as I said, some illustrations to help it out. We're going to start with the first blessing. The first path to a happy new year is in the first chapter, in the third verse of the first chapter. And it says, blessed are those, or blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. So we got a little guy reading here. See my little guy up there? He's reading. And I want that image to stick in your head, because what John tells us is there is a blessing for those who read the revelation, the prophecy. Now, when John wrote, he was writing to groups of believers that gather together for worship like we are today, and somebody would be the one who would stand up and read. And that person is told they're going to get a blessing for reading Revelation. The only book of the 66 books that actually gives you a blessing, not just for listening to it, but getting up there with the right heart and reading the book. You want a happy new year? Read Revelation. Oh, that doesn't seem too hard, does it? Happy new year! Read Revelation. That's why I say it's important. You want a happy new year? He said, blessed are those who read the word. Now, for those of you who didn't, you can still, you know, I know Kurt's teasing, it's gone, but you can keep reading. It's not like it's only there once, you know. It's kind of like a replaceable resource, renewable resource. It keeps coming back. It's not like that from the ground, once it's used up, it's gone, okay? Is that good, Bill? That's good. But that's not the only blessing, folks. There's a second one in that same verse, and if you were to keep reading on in verse 3, you would find this. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And so we're going to use an ear for hearing, and we're going to use the heart. You need to have, not just have it read, you got to listen to it. You got to listen to what it says, and you got to take it to heart. And a good example of someone who knew how to do that was the mother of Jesus, Mary. I know Christmas is past, but we still got a little bit of Christmas behind me. It's Epiphany today, so it still counts. We're still in the bubble of Christmas. And remember what it is said of Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, that when the shepherds shared everything they had seen and heard, it says that Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. This is what we're talking about. That's when I read from Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So we take this book of Revelation, we don't just read it, but we listen to it, we mull it over, we reflect on it, we meditate on it until it becomes part of us. But we're not done. There's another blessing. Pop over to chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So our little picture here is of a cemetery service being done by a pastor. As that pastor is committing that person to the Lord, to the grave, if you will, their body, but they're honoring the life and recognizing that this one died in the Lord. This is one that, I just want you to know, you don't have to do it today to get that blessing, okay? Hold that thought. But Kenny got his Happy New Year blessing because he died in the Lord. Merle Grossglass, my secretary treasurer, my former pastor, my friend and mentor, he got his. Yesterday, Betty Van Aller got hers. She got her Happy New Year. Now, we may think, death, happy? Not quite seeing where you're going with this one, Pastor. Isn't it like happy living? Well, take a look at Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How is that precious? Now, we know in a general sense, Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, I would rather depart to be with the Lord, which is far better. You know, someone once said that the reason we don't know all the beauties of heaven is because we wouldn't want to live down here. But there is a blessing that when we do leave this world, we don't go into non-existence. Atheists are going to be very surprised when they go and think this is it, but they're still there. They still have consciousness, and they face Jesus face to face. Oh, no. Oh, no. They may literally crowd, oh, my God, as an atheist, and be right. oh my God, standing before them. But when John gives us this blessing, it's more than that. It's more than just simply, hey, God bless you, you died, you're with Jesus. When you look at the context, and it's very important when you read the Word of God that you don't yank a verse out, that you do read it in context. And if you go back a couple verses earlier in chapter 14, here's what you find in verse 11. There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast in his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. Then verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest. Did you catch the contrast? What John is saying is to people that were tempted to cave and compromise with the Roman emperor and the emperor worship and all that the beast of his day was trying to do, John is saying, you have a choice. You can cave now and temporarily rest from persecution, but then suffer for eternity without rest. Or you could suffer a lack of rest because of persecution temporarily, but then you'll get eternal rest with no more. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Those who remain faithful, who said, you know what? I get it. Short term, no rest. Long term, eternal rest. I'm there. That's where he's going with this one. So although we can't yet fulfill the ultimate destiny of dying in the Lord, we can lead up to this by living for the Lord here. You can begin to anticipate, get the down payment on this blessing by remaining faithful to the Lord in spite of persecution, in spite of the pressure to cave. You remain faithful. You're already anticipating this blessing. Let's take a look at another one. This one's kind of odd. This is in chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. I decided to go with a suit coat for this one. But I got to tell you, if you take this thing literally, there are a lot of blessed college students who are living on monster drink and Mountain Dew and no doze, and they're staying awake. I'm not thinking that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the caffeine that you stay awake. Oh no, I'm blessed if I stay awake. Okay, can't sleep. No. Nor is he saying to have your clothes with you. I can't change. I can't be naked. I mean, I can't take a bath. I can't take a shower. No, come on. We know that's not what he's saying. But what is he saying? Well, if you go back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, this makes sense. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, will deceive many. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. He's talking about having an attitude that is both ready and waiting for the Lord's return. Being watchful, not getting caught up with so much stuff down here that we've lost sight that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to return. And I tell you what, you look around and you go, wow, are we on the expressway to this return? Because there's a lot of things happening in our world right now. Rumblings in the Middle East, struggles with the economy, pressure on believers to cave. And so what he tells us is stay watchful. Don't get caught up. Don't hold too tightly. Now, that doesn't mean we abandon the world. It doesn't mean that we, you know, go get some white robes, climb some mountain, you know, chant kumbaya and look at our navels. But what he's talking about here is an attitude that says, I recognize this isn't home. I don't hold too tightly. I use what I have. I enjoy what God gives me. I eat what is set before me, giving God thanks. But I don't hold on so tightly to this world that I become so much a part of it that I lose sight of who I am and what I'm called to be. Our suit clothes will remind us. Keep alert. Keep watchful. Be ready. Let's move on to another one. This is over in chapter 19. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. And so we have our invitation here. That'll remind us. This last summer, I had the privilege of doing the wedding for Jess Meigel. and her beau Brett. They were with us for the Christmas break. It was good to see them again. I asked them, how are they enjoying marriage? They both smiled. It's going well for them. While we were in Rochester, we had a chance to go to the Stacy party. I talked about that last week. And while we were there, David, my nephew, and his wife, Krista. One married a Krista, one married a Kristen, and I never could remember which one did which. So I looked at him, I said, so I know they've been married for about a year. I said, so how's marriage? We highly recommend it. Happy as all get out. None of that compares to the wedding that's coming. Using the imagery of a bride, the church is presented as one who is spotless, without wrinkle, being prepared for the marriage to the Lamb. Now the cool thing is that it says, blessed are those who are invited. The word invited means called. And here's the neat thing. Some weddings, they restrict who can come and who can't. We have a niece that's getting married, and I think we're being told only adults are allowed to come to the ceremony. This marriage supper that the father is holding for his son, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not age specific. Children, you can come. You trust Jesus, you can come. Gray haired or no hair or little hair. And Dick's like, wait a minute, don't look at me. Poor Dick yesterday in the men's breakfast felt like he was being picked on. And he's like, I didn't do anything. I'm just sitting here. But from the youngest to whoever is the oldest here, I don't know if it's Dick. But you just might be the oldest here, Dick. I know, you and Doris might be in competition with each other. Franklin's up there too. Any one of you can come. See, some weddings you don't get invited to. You're not family. You're not a close enough friend that they want to pay for you to go. Because you got to pay for those receptions, and per plate, that's a lot of money. So, you know, let's not invite the Richards because there's a lot of them. You know what I'm saying? There's no restriction. It's already been paid for. The meal was already paid for. It's given by grace. It's already been paid for. Nobody misses this. No one misses this unless they want to. Every one of you is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will you accept the call? If you accept that call, there's a blessing, obviously. You get invited, you get in, you get to have this supper with the Lord. It's another blessing available to you. Don't want you to miss it. Let's move on. We're over in chapter 20 now. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so we're going to remember this one with a crown, a chance to reign with him. The first resurrection, Revelation 20, is talking about the folks who remain faithful to Christ. Whether they actually were killed or not, they remain faithful to Christ. If you remain faithful, that when Jesus returns, we go to be with him. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about what happens. Our bodies get transformed. We get a body like his body. We get a redeemed body. Blessed are those who are in on that one. Blessed are those that you trusted Christ, you put your life in his hands, you walked with him, and you have the privilege of reigning with him. Jesus is going to set up shop. He's going to set up his kingship, his throne in Jerusalem. He's the son of David, and he is going to reign and rule for 1,000 years on planet Earth, and we get to reign with him. Wow. I'm thinking that's a happy new year for like 1,000 times. Happy New Year. Peace and prosperity. Can you imagine King Jesus? I mean, there's no flaw in the guy. He's not going to get up there and kind of selfishly pass laws that, you know, he's going to do the right thing all the time. Righteousness is going to roll down like the river. Justice like a never-ending stream. The lion is going to lie down with the lamb. There's going to be universal peace. It is going to be paradise on earth for 1,000 years. Blessed are those who get to take part in that. How do I get in? I trust Christ. I remain faithful to him through the power of his Spirit. I'm in. Wow. Chapter 22, the last two. It says in verse 7, "Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." So we'll throw a book up there. It's not enough just to have it read. It's not enough just to listen to it, take it to heart. You actually got to do it, which is what James says when he says that don't be just hearers of the word only, but do the word. When we were in James, we point out the fact that works do not save us, but saving faith produces works. That if you say you know Jesus and it doesn't show up in how you live your life, I have to question whether you know Jesus. Because when you know Jesus and you have the root of faith, it's going to produce the fruit of a holy life. Paul said that and James. So he's telling me here there's a blessing, and that's great. You know, I read the word, man, I got a blessing. I'm listening to it, and I'm hearing, man, I'm getting a blessing. Oh, I want all the blessings. I want a happy, happy new year. So I'm called in 2013 to do the book, to do the words of this book, to keep the words of this book and follow them through. And last of all, the blessing comes in the verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. And although it doesn't literally mean use a washing machine, we'll throw that up there just to help you remember. We got some laundry baskets there, washer, dryer, and we got some laundry soap. What he's talking about, if you read through Revelation, the person who washed their robes is someone who was washed clean by the blood of Christ, who experienced salvation, forgiveness, who's living a godly, righteous life through the power of the Spirit. This ties back to the keeping the words of the prophecy, because it says the white linen of the saints were the righteous deeds that they did. Bottom line, from start to finish, the happy new year is available for those who have a living, healthy relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Your happy new year will not come this year simply by getting a promotion, although you may be thankful for it. Your happy new year won't come by getting a raise, although certainly in our economy you'd be happy for that. Your happy new year won't even come by having a baby born in your family, although certainly that will be a blessing, Amber. All of those are blessings, but the ultimate happy new year comes when I live in relationship to God, a living, healthy relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Not just a formal thing, a living relationship, a real relationship. And not just one where I'm living broken, but one that I'm learning to walk in His wholeness, His healing. This is what we have. So if we take all of these together, let's see if the kids can help me out. First one, what is the blessing? The little guy in the corner with the glasses. Jocelyn? Do you know what it is? You can get some help from Hannah. What is it? The first one, the little guy there with the glasses. Blessed is he, or blessed is the one who, I heard it. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Next one. Blessed is the one who hears it and takes it to heart. Third one. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Fourth one. Yeah, be watchful, be ready, be waiting. Have those clothes ready for you. Next one. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Next one, the crown. Take part in the first resurrection because they're going to be priests and they're going to reign with Him. Next one, the book. Blessed are those who keep, to do, obey the book, the scripture. And lastly, blessed are those who wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb and who are living godly life through the power of the Spirit. That is my happy new year wish for you. That this year will be the best year you've ever known because you're going to walk in those blessings. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a happy new year that is made available to us through Jesus Christ. A pathway to blessing. Lord, I pray for everything that you want to do in your people this year. I pray for everything you want to do in this body of believers this year. I pray for everything you want to do in our community and region this year. That this year would truly be a happy, blessed new year. That we would see the fullness of your awakening beginning to be birthed in this valley and in this county. That we would have the privilege of worshiping permanently in our new facility that you are building as we trust you by faith. That this would be a year that we would see people come to faith in Christ. That this would be a year that we'd see marriages restored. That this would be the year that we would see healings come into people's bodies. That this would be a year that we'd see people delivered and set free from bondages. That this would be a year of an awakening that shakes the very fabric of our county, Lord. Something that this valley has never experienced in four centuries of its existence. That, Lord, this year would be a year of the Lord's favor. That this year would be a year that Schoharie County will not be missed. But that, God, we would experience a divine visitation that does more than just give us a hype and a buzz and goosebumps, but transforms lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing people into the kingdom, bringing people into a relationship with the Savior where they live it and love it and honor you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Happy New Year, Lord, for these people. Happy New Year for myself, Lord. Happy New Year, Lord. A blessed, 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 and eighth blessed church. In Jesus' name, amen.